I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Here to lend some insight to how the Colts are doing it these days, having won their third game in a row today from our friends at 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis. Kevin Bowen jumps aboard with us here on CBS Sports Radio. Kevin, Jody Mack in New York. How are you, bud?
Hey, Jody. Thanks for having me on.
No, thank you for coming on. It was just 3 weeks ago, or you want to tackle bye in there too. Colts were sitting at 1-4, having been beaten by New England. It wasn't a blowout game, but it wasn't like the game hung in the balance either. Sitting there at 1-4, looks like you're going to start to look at, well, who are we going to be able to add in the draft this year? We could have some pretty good draft status. They rip off a win. They lose the next week to the Jets. They rip off a win against Buffalo, Oakland, and now Jacksonville on top of that. How has this team, add in the win today over Tennessee, how have they turned their season on a dime?
I think it starts in the trenches. Their offensive line has been outstanding here, especially over the past month or so. It's five straight games. Andrew Luck has not been sacked. These are some pretty good defenses they've played in that stretch. Buffalo was a top 10 defense, Jacksonville, Tennessee, both top 10 defenses as well. So I think it starts there. Anthony Costanzo, their left tackle, missed the first five games of the season. And then, like you mentioned, that Jets game was the first one that he came back for. And the offensive line has just protected Andrew Luck really well. And Luck is in, you know, arguably maybe the best stretch of his career and how efficient he's been over the past few weeks. And the defense has just done enough. Today they were really, really good. The past few weeks there's been some leakage, but I would say mostly it starts with the offensive line play, and that's allowed Andrew Luck to be at an incredible pace.
On that note, they used their first-round draft pick this year on an offensive lineman. How much of a difference has Quentin Nelson made?
He's been huge. I think just his mentality. I know there's a lot of viral videos last week against Jacksonville that went around, and Nelson actually got fined for one of those plays, but he just brings a physical nastiness presence to that offensive line room that I think had been lacking. And they have the 6th overall pick in Quentin Nelson at left guard. They have the 37th overall pick starting right now at right tackle in Braden Smith. So you don't usually see many teams, you know, invest two top 40 picks in one draft on the offensive line. The Colts did that, and they're reaping the benefits of it. We've seen Nelson and Smith, you know, be key players. Smith came into the starting lineup in week 5. Nelson, I don't think he's missed a snap due to injury this year. He maybe has played every snap now that I think about it, but he's been big. You know, taking a guard at 6 certainly isn't the sexiest thing to do, but the Colts needed to repair that offensive line. They committed resources into it, and it's paid off.
The offensive line has done the job, both pass protection for Andrew Luck and also run blocking. You got the three-headed monster there in Indy, Mac, Wilkins, and Hines, all who kind of shared the running responsibilities. Was that the game plan coming into the season? Were they waiting for one of them to grab a hold of the job and become the bell cow and heavy duty back, or was it going to be by committee all year?
No, you know, Jody, it actually took about a month or so for them to settle on things. Marlon Mack had a nagging hamstring injury, played a little bit in week 2, but then missed the next few games, and he got healthy in that Jets game week 6, and the run game was outstanding week 6, 7, and 8, including those wins over the Bills and Raiders. And Mack is probably the lead guy. Didn't have a huge game today, but was solid. And then Jordan Wilkins and Nyheim Hines, two rookies, round out that group. So it's a very young trio. Mack's only been in the league for 1 year. Wilkins and Hines, both rookies. But Frank Reich, you know, coming from Philadelphia, likes to rotate backs. Again, Marlon Mack is probably the lead guy of that group, but both the rookies have been nice contributors as well. Today, the run game really wasn't the big focus. They got T.Y. Hilton going. That was huge. He had 155 yards and a couple touchdowns, and he had been a bit quiet for T.Y. Hilton over the past three games. But he had a huge day today, fitting with Reggie Wayne going into the team's Ring of Honor, that Hilton had a big, big game. But yeah, those young backs have provided nice balance here over the past month.
Do want to talk to you about Frank Reich, but first, on Luck, you mentioned, might be in the best run of his career, and he's been phenomenal, leads the National Football League in touchdown passes. Didn't know that was going to be the case back in August, because we were leading up to the summer and reporting to the teams, Luck should be good, Luck should be good, Luck's going to be back, Luck's going to be fine, and then he wasn't when he showed up to camp, and he was slow getting out there and getting reps and throwing and competing in preseason games and the like. Was there nervousness in Indianapolis that, damn, this injury isn't over and we don't have our quarterback yet before the season started?
I don't think there was too much of that, Jody. You know, early on in camp, yeah, there was obvious rust. You know, this is a guy that had really not thrown an NFL football in 19 or 20 months. But then once you saw him in the preseason, he was pretty efficient. You know, I didn't air the ball out too deep in those preseason games, but he at least looked like a guy that was getting back to his normal self. And there's been zero questions since the regular season started. I mean, from a quantity of throws, there was a two-game stretch, week 4 and 5, when the Colts played on a Sunday, then a Thursday. Luck threw it 121 times combined in those two games. I think it's the second most in NFL history for a quarterback in back-to-back games. And then lately, just the precision, his decision-making has been really, really good. He has 13 touchdowns and one pick over the past four games. This four-game winning streak, and when the one pick was just a drop by Mo Alie-Cox, one of their tight ends. So there really weren't any questions early on in the season. Luck showed it. His efficiency has only gotten better once his offensive balance and the pass protection has improved. And, you know, he's certainly not going to garner probably a lot of big-time MVP consideration. But if you look at his numbers right now and what he's done for this team, there aren't many guys around the league that are more valuable to their team than Andrew Luck.
He might not be top five because the Colts are 5-5, but I'd have him in the top 10 of the MVP category because he is having as good a season as you talk about. What is it about Frank Reich's offense that he brought in, hired as your new head coach, former offensive coordinator with the Eagles, that has fit as well as it has with Luck and the other talent they've assembled on offense here in Indy?
I would just say Frank Reich's really open to just week-to-week game plans and trying to involve all the skill guys that are active on a game day. I mean, he's so multiple with personnel groupings and how he wants to attack. They've done a great job with misdirection stuff and really excelled in the red zone and on third down. Situationally, they've been outstanding. And I just feel like for the first time in the Andrew Luck era, they have a big-time schematic advantage with what their offensive coordinator and play caller can do. And kudos to Frank Reich for that. I mean, I just mentioned earlier, you know, you played three of the top, you know, 10, maybe even a little better than that defenses here in this four-game win streak, and you've made them look silly for what you've wanted to do on the offensive side of the ball. And it's been in a variety of ways. Buffalo is a committed run game. You know, Jacksonville, it was heavy tight end usage. And then today it was finding T.Y. Hilton. And I just think the multiplicity for this offense is really, really impressive because they don't have a ton of talent at receiver. They certainly don't have a top 10 running back, but yet they're just getting it done. And Frank Reich gives you that. And, you know, maybe we're starting to see just how much he meant to Philadelphia with some of their offensive struggles that we're seeing as well. So Frank Reich has been a huge, huge part of the Colts' offensive success so far this season.
Oh, believe me when I tell you they're lamenting the loss of Frank Reich in Philadelphia right about now with the way the Eagles offense has sputtered for the entire year. All right, so you get the win, so you're even with Tennessee, trailing Houston in the division, but you've got a game against the Texans coming up in a couple of weeks. Miami and Jacksonville prior to that, Dallas, New York, and then a rematch with Tennessee thereafter. It's not a killer schedule the rest of the way. How high is high? What do the Colts think they can do the rest of the way?
Boy, it's a wild question because, like you said, Jody, a month ago, people were sending me 2019 mock drafts.
Exactly.
1-5. And now there's legitimate talk. Today in the press box, a member of the Titans media was like, no one wants to see Andrew Luck in the playoffs right now. And that's probably a pretty accurate statement. Now, I still think the wild card, probably the sixth seed, is their best option because, yeah, I know the Chargers lost today, but they're still 7-3, and I have a relatively easy schedule down the stretch. Same thing for the Texans at 7-3 and in the division. But if you look at those five teams right now, there's five teams in the AFC at 5-5. The Colts are easily playing the best of those five teams, and they do play Miami, like you mentioned, a week from Sunday at home. So you have an advantage to get some tiebreakers. And you know, if I'm Pittsburgh or New England or Houston, you know, one of those AFC teams that might, you know, be playing, win their division, but might be playing a wild card weekend, I wouldn't want to see the Colts. You know, I'd much rather see a different wild card team than the Colts, given what Andrew Luck has shown this season. And the defense has at least had some moments where they can play complimentary football. So I still think, you know, probably anything above 9-7 is maybe a little bit too much to ask for. But if you look at their schedule, the final 6 weeks, they have a trip to Houston in there. But outside of that, they could be favored in all of these games. And Andrew Luck will certainly be the best quarterback on the field down the stretch. They don't play really any top 10 quarterbacks the rest of the way.
Kevin Bowen from 1070 The Fan in Indianapolis, our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, while we got you, I know you also were on top of the Pacers, who got a win today and are up to a pretty good start. 10-6 to get this season going. Playoff team last year, playoff team again this year. What's the difference, if there has been an upgrade of the Pacers? We know Oladipo came, I don't want to say out of nowhere, but you see progression in young players. He jumped about two or three notches last year with as fast as he came. What's different and or what's better about this Pacers team this year over last year?
Well, they've been tremendous on the defensive end of the floor. I think they're ranked second right now in scoring defense in the NBA, which if you look at their roster, they don't have a lot of elite kind of on-ball defenders, but Miles Turner, their young center, has protected the rim at a really high level. Victor Oladipo continues to give you what you need from a scoring standpoint. He didn't play too well on Friday night in their win, and then over the Heat, and then last night he actually got a little banged up. And only played about 4 or 5 minutes, but the Pacers still beat the Hawks. So when Oladipo's been healthy, though, he's averaging 23 points a game and giving you rebounding and distributing the ball at a pretty high level as well. I would say one of the biggest surprises for them this year has been the jump to Domantas Sabonis. Their third-year center has given them off the bench. His efficiency rating is top 10 in the league. Just seemingly falls out of bed and gives you a double-double off the bench and can initiate a lot of offense through him as well. So when you look at them in the East right now, they are 10-6. You know, people would probably say they don't have, you know, as high a ceiling as teams like Milwaukee and Toronto, and you got to think Boston and Philly will start to get it together as well. But they've been a tough out now for the last year plus, and if they can get home court in round one, you know, maybe they can win a series and try to do a little bit more damage than they did last year in losing in seven games to Cleveland.
How is Tyreke Evans fit in there? Because he's a different type of player. He's a guy who can flat out score, but a lot of times he needs the ball in his hands and plays the same position as Oladipo. I was a little surprised by that signing. His numbers say he's been okay and he's been contributing. Is that accurate?
It's been a little up and down, to be honest. He was actually suspended, left at home for a game early in the season. Wasn't really meeting Nate McMillan's expectations. But what we've seen over the weekend is why you gave Tyreke Evans, I think it was $12.5 million for just a one-year deal. Because when Oladipo was either off the floor or struggling, you need that scoring punch. And that's what the Pacers felt like they didn't have last year in that seven-game series against Cleveland. It was either Oladipo or bust, really. And if teams are going to try to take away Victor or, you know, potentially – you know, there is an injury, you need another guy that can be that kind of catalyst for you from a scoring standpoint. And that's what Evans has given them when he's been good this year. And he was really good on Friday night. I think he had 23 points off the bench, hit 5 threes, which we know he's a streaky shooter. I think for the Pacers to make a jump, they didn't touch their starting lineup in the offseason, but they needed to improve their bench. And that's what Evans is given that group. And him and Sabonis have provided a nice little two-man game. So he started to play a little bit better, a little bit more consistent because there were some issues off the floor as well early in the season.
Kevin, good stuff. Appreciate you sharing Indy Insight with us. Thanks much. We'll talk to you down the road.
No problem at all, Jody. Have a good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.